The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
What is happening here? You comfortable?
I am.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Monday. Welcome
far
to First
Things
First.
Than someone else.
Welcome to the show where CC and I are quite comfortable. I'm Jenna Wolf. That is the Hall of Famer, Chris Carter. This is Nick Wright.
Where'd you get those shoes, Chris Carter?
The Kraft family sent them to a holiday gift. Thank you, Mr. Kraft, as you delivered not only for the holidays, you're still delivering in Kansas City. Thank you for your shoes. These are his custom-made Air Force Ones. Nike makes for them.
He's a boss. Patriot logo.
9 Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. I mean, if winning is a thing...
I like your shoes. Good morning, bro.
Good morning to both of you. Pleasant weekend.
Worst of my life.
Okay.
Let's just go ahead and talk sports.
It was an amazing weekend, though. Yep.
Way to
in
know
the NFL.
Your partners.
weekend.
You have to acknowledge there were 2 great games, though. It was a great way.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Conference Sunday.
Just
to go.
Delightful.
Right. You know what? Let's just start with the AFC Championship game and get right to it. Chiefs hosting the Patriots. Chiefs basically were shut out in the first half, not basically, but made it a game in the second. A little more than 2 minutes to go. Damian Williams runs it in to put the Chiefs up 4. Mahomes fired up, but so was Tom Brady. And when he's fired up, he does things like this. Finds Gronk, putting the ball inside the 5, less than a minute to play. Next play, Rex Burkhead runs it in for the score. Patriots go up 3. Chiefs have a chance to tie. Mahomes drops back, looking. Finds DeMarcus Robinson, 27-yard gain, and that would put them in range for Harrison Butker, 39 yards out. Nails it. We're going to overtime. In OT, 3rd and 9, Tom Brady to Julian Edelman. What else is new? 20-yard gain. It's a catch. Pats into the red zone. Burkhead takes it down to the 5 right here. 2 plays later, it's Burkhead again. He's in for the score, and that's your game. Chiefs never touched the ball in overtime. Patriots win it 37-31. Tom Brady takes down the presumptive MVP on the way to his 9th Super Bowl. Here is the quarterback after the game.
The odds were stacked against us, and it hasn't been that way for us for a while, and it certainly was this year. Great way to end it. I was probably as excited as I've been in a long time. And, you know, a lot of things, one play here, one play there, could have changed everything, but that's football, and just proud of our team.
All right, CeCe, there's a lot of reasons why the Patriots won this game. Was it the quarterback? Was it the coach? Was it the defense? Was it the run game? How do you think the Patriots were able to beat Kansas City last night?
Well, it wasn't the quarterback. Tom Brady was big in the most critical situations, but in spite of him, and regardless of what you want to say, Tom Brady's resume, it's great. But there's also been no quarterback that's been supported by support staff, that being coaching, that being defensive plays, that being every time New England gets in a critical situation, you might not know who it is, but you can believe that a player is going to step up and be able to make a play. Hogan making plays, Edelman making plays, Gronk. Gronk makes a play run the slant on Eric Berry, a play they hadn't run all season, something they didn't game plan for, something they put in on the field. So Tom Brady, yes, was great. 3 third down conversions of 3rd and 10 on that last drive, making the best of it. But Josh McDaniels, in continuing, even the morning of the game yesterday, they put in 8 new plays at the hotel, walked through them in the ballroom, ran 4 or 5 of the plays during the game, all of these for positive gains during the game. The play they ran to Gronk, it was something they hadn't run all season. They noticed that Eric Berry was playing outside shoulder and bump and run when they ran the fade on him earlier, that Gronk made an amazing catch. Brady made a great throw. So they put in a slant pattern that they hadn't run or hadn't planned for. So New England's ability to be able to adapt to what's going on, to put their players in a winning situation, more so than, couldn't find Tyreek Hill because they couldn't come up with a play compared to what New England does year in, year out, game in, game out. If you give them enough information, they'll figure out what to do, even if they haven't practiced it.
To me, this was the best Belichick game since Pats-Rams that started this whole damn thing. And now we're about to get Pats-Rams and near the end of this whole thing. What they did in the on the first drive, they started the game with a 15-play drive, taking up 8-plus minutes, just running down the Chiefs' throats. They ended the game with a 13-play drive. And what they did in between, eliminating Tyreek Hill. We know that going into each game, Belichick wants to try to eliminate the team's his opposition's number one option. I don't think anyone thought he was going to be able to fully eliminate Tyreek Hill, but he did. We knew they would try to minimize his impact after he had a 140 and 3 scores in the game in Gillette. Tyreek Hill made one catch. We thought they couldn't eliminate Hill and Kelce. Kelce, he had the one touchdown that was huge to begin the second half, but he had 3 catches on the game. What they schematically did to Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes was pressured on 45% of his dropbacks. The Chiefs had the ball for 21 minutes. It is a almost sports miracle that the Chiefs were in position with a lead late twice in this football game.
The way it
started. 21-17, up 28-24. They were in position multiple times to win, but what the Pats did in the first half was magnificent. It was as thorough of a coaching job as anyone can do. And let's not forget how the first half ended. The Patriots were only up 7-0. They seemed content to go into halftime 7-0. They were running the ball, letting the clock wind down. Andy Reid did what I think every coach in the league would have done. You get a stop on second down. They're in third and long. Call timeout. And as soon as they did that, the Patriots went into attack mode. They ended up tacking on a touchdown before the half. They ended up almost tacked on more after the Mahomes fumble near the end, right on the very final few seconds of the first half. And that 14-point deficit, it's very similar first time around. Chiefs down 15 first time around. Score 31 in the second half. Not quite enough. Down 14 this time around. Score 31 in the second half. Not quite enough. And then you left the door open for Brady to be, after being really shaky for 3.5 quarters, really great on the final two drives of the game.
At the place where he is always or generally really, really great. So this Patriots team, they had more rushing attempts in this game than they've ever had since 2005. Do you think that was the game plan coming in, or were they looking at what this Chiefs defense was giving them and saying, well, we're just going to run White and Michelle and see where it takes us and keep going?
New England knows their strengths, but it's more important they know their weaknesses. Coming into this game, Kansas City giving up 5 yards a carry during the regular season. You know that New England, very, very predictable as far as last week we talked about. James Devlin, the fullback, Sony Michel, when they're on the field together, they went right with the script. When they were on the field together, Sony Michel, James Devlin, the fullback, they ran the ball 85% of the time. So what New England did in this game was, man, they didn't try to hide what they were trying to do. They knew they wanted to be physical. I said this would be an 80s, 90s Bill Parcells type game where they would try to eat up the clock, impose their physicality on you, because people watching the NFL, we don't give New England credit for having the great offensive line. Dante Scarnecchia, he's been there, I think, 17 of the 19 years that Bill Belichick has been there. His offensive line played tremendous. So that ability to be able to dominate and predictably dominate from formations, that was one of the big differences. James White, he dominated in the first half, even though he only played 12 snaps, 6 first downs. Man, and their ability to utilize their players in the right spots, that to me was the difference in the football game. They knew what they wanted to do. They knew they had to eat up the time of possession. And I have been saying this all year to anyone who wanted to listen, you cannot win a Super Bowl with the bad defense that the Chiefs had. And New England went to taking that defense apart. Now, it was just enough to be able to get the game into overtime, but it's hard to win in the NFL when you can't stop the run. Chiefs couldn't do it all year, couldn't do it yesterday.
And that is what cost them the game. But with the defense the way it was, with the game the way it went, down 14-0, the biggest play of the game might have been calling heads, not tails. Because I don't think anyone at this desk thinks that if the Chiefs win the toss, we're not talking about this game in the exact opposite fashion. It felt to me like whoever won that coin toss was going to drive down and win the football game. To Brady's credit, he's played in, and the Pats have played in three overtime playoff games. They are three famous games. The Tuck Rule, the Atlanta Super Bowl, and last night. All three games, they won the toss, and all three games, they never let the opponent touch the football.
And why? Because they know exactly what they want to do. They go from being conservative to being very aggressive, and they took control of the football game. They don't want the game to be involved with the kicker, so they get very, very aggressive. Their play calling was very, very strategic, and guys made plays when they have to in all three of those situations. With the Raiders, against the Falcons, and in this game against the Chiefs.
And those third and tens, I know it says third and nine on the screen, but there was three third and tens they converted on that overtime drive. Three times where they would have, twice where they would have been forced to punt, one where they would have kicked a field goal here, where the Chiefs would have gotten the ball back. And the Achilles heel all year, the ability to get off the field and the ability to stop the run just killed them. But on the third and tens, stopping the runs out of the equation. You know what they're doing. I don't know how Julian Edelman gets.
They became too predictable. They played two man. They came in and ran an inversion to run a pick. Edelman runs the crosser at 10 to 12 yards, one of their favorite routes to run, especially in third and long. At the end of the game, the Chiefs' defense, it became too predictable. Eric Berry in bump and run on Gronk. Really? You want that matchup? New England wants that matchup. And so them being able to, Josh McDaniel, being able to predict where they were going to be to get them into the best play, that was the difference in that final drive.
But a great season for the Chiefs, and our condolences only once to you. And then we move on. The Patriots are now going back to the Super Bowl. Who are they going to play? Coming up, did the referees cost the Saints a shot at the Super Bowl? That's next on First Things First. Yeah. Welcome back. We're going to get to Rams-Saints in just a second. But first, a couple of big plays from the AFC Championship game. Chiefs-Pats, Tom Brady to Philip Dorsett for the touchdown right before the half.
I think most people in this stadium in this moment thought this thing was about to be a 31-10 final.
Great setup right here. They ran an out and up on the corner for the Chiefs. James White does a great job of picking up the blitz. So Tom Brady has enough time to be able to pump it. Isolate a corner on the outside. Philip Dorsett, two touchdowns. Last week scores a touchdown. This week scores another one.
Next up, Patty Mahomes, the sidearm to Sammy Watkins on third down. Times the throw perfectly before he gets hit.
And this is one of those plays where he has to throw it that way. He has to wait, and he has to throw it around Dante Hightower. Like, if he throws it any other way, risk getting batted down. This was a tremendous play by Patrick Mahomes.
More from the AFC title game. Chris Hogan, watch this, hauling in the absurd one-handed catch.
Great catch here. They were trying to attack the middle of the Chiefs' defense, especially you see late in the game, in critical situations. What were they trying to do? 10 yards and across the middle. Hogan spears this one. Absolutely remarkable catch. In the cold, for this ball not to hit the ground, I was really shocked that a piece of this ball didn't hit the ground.
Yeah, I didn't think it was a bad challenge by Andy Reid. I know the challenge.
Yes.
But I think it was, in real time, you thought this absolutely should have been incomplete. Then you saw it, you're like, wow, Hogan made a tremendous play.
All right, let's see who the Patriots are playing. Moving on to the NFC title game. Third-year stud Jared Goff and the Rams taking on the veteran stud Drew Brees and the Saints, tied with less than 2 minutes to go. Brees can hit Tommy Lee Lewis. However, it looks like Nickell Robey-Coleman clearly gets there first. Pass interference, helmet to helmet, nothing. No call from the refs on this one. Sean Payton can't believe it. Saints would kick a field goal to make it 23-20. Less than a minute left. Goff to Robert Woods. Gets it in field goal range. Sets up this from 48 yards out for Greg Zuerlein. And we're headed to overtime. Saints would get the ball first. But on the third play, Brees gets picked off by John Johnson. Falling backwards. Holds on to it. I think that's the most emotional I've ever seen Jared Goff. Comes down to a 57-yarder from Zuerlein, who nails it. Rams punch their ticket to the Super Bowl. After the game, all the Saints talk centered around the no call. And as you'd imagine, Sean Payton not thrilled.
Just getting off the phone with the league office. They blew the call. And, man, there are a lot of opportunities, though. But that call puts it first and 10. We're on an E3 plays. And it's a game-changing call. And it's where it's at.
without bashing a so-said referee who's supposed to be a lead at his job. I don't know, blame it on the government shutdown. I don't know. At some point, this is ridiculous.
Listen, it's a hard job for those guys because it's happening fast, but I don't know if there was ever a more obvious pass interference call that, you know, here it is, the NFC Championship game. So, tough one to swallow.
Came to the sideline, looking at the football guys, like, thank you. Got away with one tonight.
Roby Coleman knew that he got away with one there. CeCe, did the referees cost the Saints a chance at the Super Bowl?
Well, I mean, it's fairly obvious it's a pass interference. It's hard to put it on the referees. There's a number of plays during the game. But when you have a call like that, it's going to give them basically first and goal. They're going to be able to run out the clock. Yeah, very seldom are you able to boil it down to one play. But this one, you can say that. And Sean Payton, I couldn't imagine just how tough that call was to the league office. Not a league office that he's fond of. So for them to be able to have to call and to be able to say, man, we made a mistake, the ref made a mistake, man, that's a tough call to be able to receive that on the other end. Great football game. I hate to see that it comes down to a call like this, but you can't avoid it. You have to be able to get that call right late in the game. The defender's running right at the wide receiver. The wide receiver can't make a play on the ball. Why? Because there's contact. Now, people will say, well, what about the helmet-to-helmet? Well, they stopped calling that long time ago. Now, they're coming into the season. That was a point of emphasis, but they haven't been calling that the last 2 months. So I didn't think that they would call that. They didn't call several in yesterday's games. But the pass interference on that, when the wide receiver cannot make a play on the football, you have to be able to call it.
Of course, that should have been pass interference. But in sports or in life, all you can do is control your controllables. And you can't control if the refs are going to miss a call. What you can control, if you're the New Orleans Saints, and if you're Sean Payton, is after that Ted Ginn catch, there's a minute 58 left. The Rams have two timeouts. You're at the 15-yard line. You can run the ball three times. And your worst-case scenario is you're kicking a field goal with less than a minute left, a chip shot. You might run for the first down and be in the exact position they want to be in there. They threw the ball inexplicably on first down, which set this entire course of events into motion. I understand that Sean Payton is upset and he should be upset, but he also should know you were in a spot where you were 95% to win this football game if you take knees. Now, no one's advocating you take knees there. Just run the ball. It's not like you can get a first down without scoring a touchdown. And even if you get stuffed three consecutive times, the Rams go timeout, timeout, and then they're out of timeouts. And on the third run, it's 40 seconds, tick, tick, tick. And then it's Jared Goff with no timeouts, less than a minute left. Go try it. And so
this was going for the win. We're not going to go for a field goal where they can tie.
But a field goal is going for the win as well. Like, you've got to understand at that moment, you are playing the clock, not the Rams. And you've got to, since they only have two timeouts, not three, run the ball three times.
Now, I don't have a problem with the play they run to Michael Thomas. They got a pick play. It's something everyone in the league runs. Drew Brees, completing 75% of his passes, he should be able to complete that pass. So the strategy, it's not a bad strategy if Drew Brees just does what he normally does and just throws the ball up in the eyes of Michael Thomas. Like, he's not rushed or anything. That's not Sean Payton's fault. So it's a good – only reason why it's a bad call is because Drew Brees doesn't do what he's going to do, 99 out of 100 times?
But the reason that I disagree is because you're right, Drew Brees, that is an easy pass and an easy completion. But it is – but you bring into play – that one out of 100.
Yeah, but it's a matter of strategy. They got nine guys in the box.
But I'm not trying to gain yards at that point. That's why I'm saying I'm playing the clock, not the Rams.
But it's still the best way to be able to stall out the clock. You can get hit in the backfield and the guy fumbled. If they shoot the gap, all right, and hit the running back in the backfield, he can fumble.
Sure.
That is a probability.
Absolutely. I would say the odds of an incompletion are way higher than the odds of a fumble. But the Saints have the game won if they get the pass interference call. I understand that. But I think everyone, all my friends in New Orleans, people watching this game, when Ted Ginn caught that ball, they thought, oh, we've won the game. Not thinking they needed a first down on third and long. Like, oh, we've won the game. They're going to, the Rams' best case scenario is getting the ball back inside a minute with no timeouts left. And the Saints.
Why would you put that offense back on? The only way you can win the game is if you put it in the end zone.
Well, hold on, see, but you can, running the ball does not necessarily mean you won't get the first down. I mean, they could run it.
I mean, if you go with probability, if I go with the Nick Wright factor,
sure,
the probability of getting the first down running against nine in the box, not very good.
I want to run it on first down and see what I get. That's what I'm saying. On third down, at that point, I don't kill him for it. I want to run it on first down and see what I get. I understand Sean Payton being upset, but you can't control that. Guys miss calls. I mean, you know that. We all know
that. We don't expect that. You don't go into the game saying a guy's going to miss a call. Wide receiver running wide open, defender out of position. He runs right into him blatantly. No one is thinking that on the field. No one is thinking that. It's the best players. It's the number one seed. It's the number two seed. We got the best players playing. We got the best referees. No one is thinking a guy should miss a call. Like, you might say Sean Payton, oh, he might make a different call, but that referee is in that position to make that football call. Sean Payton, there's a lot of good calls. If Drew Brees stands up like he normally does, throws the ball right to Michael Thomas, the best hands in the NFL.
It's a four-yard completion. They got to use their timeout, and no one thinks anything else about it. I understand. I just, if you were on the Rams sideline, you were praying at some point they pass the football because things can happen. And we saw two bad things happen. On the first down, yep. Drew Brees makes
an... If you're on the Rams sideline, you're praying that they play conservative and play for the field goal. That's what you're praying.
Not if they have three timeouts, I'd agree with you. But with two and you know they're going to be able to bring it within 1 minute, I think they were thrilled they threw the football.
All right, I have nine more questions about this game. I didn't get to any of them because I wanted to see this play out.
We'll
have like three more hours to discuss. Coming up, let's get back to the other game. How does Tom Brady always shine in the biggest moments? That's next on First Things First. This February, the greatest event in motorsports is back. The Daytona 500 kicks off the 2019 NASCAR season, February 17th on Fox. Time now for us to go viral. So Jared Goff and the Rams offense had a predictably tough time communicating yesterday with over 70,000 Saints fans yelling as loud as they possibly could almost the entire game, to the point that members of the media said the water bottles in the press box were shaking, a la Jurassic Park.
Man, early in this game, see, I thought the crowd was going to win it for New Orleans themselves. Like, I had never seen the quarterback run all the way to the far side of the field wide receiver to try to communicate a play. It was deafening on television. I can't imagine what it was like in that building.
Yeah, there's no building like it. When you're able to have a roof and that noise can't go anywhere, and the way the fans are there in New Orleans, man, that was a spectacular environment for a football game.
And the everlasting shot of Jared Goff is going to be this. Mm-hmm. Just trying.
Yeah, they plugged his ear holes.
Yeah. All right, time now for some stories to start your morning, sponsored by Gillette Clear Gel. Big second half for Patrick Mahomes in last night's AFC title game. After being shut out in the first, Mahomes threw for three touchdowns, nearly 300 yards. Nick, what did you make of Mahomes' performance?
I mean, he was spectacular. Had limited opportunities. They had no running game. He was the only quarterback this weekend not to throw a pick. All the other three quarterbacks threw a combined four touchdowns. He threw three of them. That drive with 39 seconds left to get them in field goal range is really, I don't think it's overstating it, the stuff of legends. They just never got the ball back. But he was outstanding under constant duress.
I thought they had a tremendous game plan, too, against him. There were a number of plays he could have really made some bad decisions. Patty Mahomes is a star in this league. Best player in the NFL. We start a draft. You can have anybody in the league. Yep. Patty Mahomes, I'm taking him with the first pick.
Wow. All right, despite the Rams winning yesterday, Todd Gurley did not have a great game, only carried the ball four times, dropped two passes, leading many to wonder if he might be injured. After the game, Gurley said he was not hurt, just that he had a, quote, sorry performance. See you buying this?
Well, I think that Todd Gurley, now he wasn't on the injury report. They said he was a full participant in practice. But to me, Todd Gurley didn't look like the Todd Gurley that I know. And I don't know if it was nerves early, because that first drop, it was like he looked like a nervous football player. They decided to go with C.J. Anderson. I thought the game planning that Sean McVay and them came up with when Todd Gurley, which I didn't believe was healthy, I thought it was brilliant.
Listen, Todd Gurley certainly didn't look healthy, but credit to the Rams for having a viable backup option. Todd Gurley might be, is almost assuredly the best offensive player on their entire team. He's been not much of a factor the last four games, yet they've had enormous contributions from the running game thanks to the addition of C.J. Anderson, a player two
teams. General manager Les Snead has done a tremendous job being aggressive in the offseason, bringing all those superstars together, and getting C.J. late in the season where anyone could have had him.
And he was the freshest player on both sides. Back to the no call that swung the NFC Championship game, Rams cornerback Nickell Robey-Coleman agreed with a furious Sean Payton. When asked after the game, he said, quote, hell yeah, that was pass interference. See, what'd you make of all this?
It was definitely pass interference. If you can see early in the play, Nickell Robey-Coleman, he was totally out of position. He lined up on the right side of the defense, and in trying to rush in a panic, he saw that the back or the flat, that was his responsibility. So he tried to make contact, trying to time it up. He gets there before the pass. Not only was it pass interference, but they could have called helmet to helmet, something they stopped calling since the first month of the season.
This is an obvious blown call. I would encourage the NFL and the media that cover it not to overreact in this regard. You do not want penalties to become reviewable. So rarely is it this crystal clear, this obvious, and this game-changing. And what it will do to the flow of the game and what it will do as far as coaches challenging any touchdown, looking for a holding on the other side of the field would be awful. This, though, if you're a Saints fan, this is a tough one to ever get over.
All right, finally, after being down 13 points in the first quarter, the Rams managed to come all the way back and pull out the win in overtime. They will head to their first Super Bowl since the 2001 season. CeCe, how impressed are you with the Rams' comeback?
Well, the Rams were on a mission all season, and they're very, very talented. I think that what made it so impressive was they didn't have Todd Gurley. They needed Jared Goff to be a force multiplier. And he was. He made the throws he needed to make. He was under duress late in the game. Off his back foot, he's able to get the ball out to the flat to pick up a big gain, get them just enough yardage to be able to kick that field goal. So I think how they did it was very impressed. We know the noise, it wasn't getting any quieter.
No.
So later in the game, the ability to be able to function where, man, they could have been blown out in this game early with that slow start. Huge turnover early, being able to recover from that. With Jared Goff, with the questions being on him, I thought Sean McVay and them did a great job of protecting him, come up with a great game plan, and he delivered enough throws for them to be able to get the win.
I'm glad you focus on Jared Goff, because I want to talk about the other people surrounding him. The reason it wasn't a blowout early is the Rams' defense showed up early and throughout the game. But that first drive for the Saints, drive down the field, hold them to a field goal. Then the quick change after the Gurley, where it went through his hands, intercepted, they hold him to a three and out. 8 yards, they're kicking another field goal. And then the Rams' special teams, they did to the Saints the exact thing the Saints did to the Eagles. The Saints in a similar spot, down 14-0 against Philadelphia, they went for a fake punt, and they got it. They're down 13-0, they go for a fake punt, and even gutsier one because it's more than 1 yard to gain and involves your punter, who was a quarterback once upon a time, throwing the football. And credit to the coaching staff for believing that Greg Zuerlein can hit a 57-yard field goal. That is a big play that if they miss it, we are here this morning saying, should they have punted? You know what I mean? Was that smart to give Drew Brees the ball at midfield? They trusted Greg the Leg Zuerlein to be able to hit that kick. He hit a nails 48-yarder to put it to overtime, and then a 57-yarder
to
win. And
I think his long was only 61, so it was really close to that. But on Thursday or Friday last week, Eric Mangini made an interesting point about this Rams defense. He said sometimes towards the end of the season, when you know you're going to make the playoffs, everything sort of gets routine, you get a little bored, and maybe the defense isn't as focused or engaged as they maybe should be, but he thought they would bring it in the game like this. Did you think they were playing as engaged? Or, I mean, the kind of defense we assume they would be when this defense was all put together
what
earlier
Coach Mangini talked about is veteran players, the mundane of the regular season, and them having a gear or two that they can go to. Because there's no way a player is coasting. But when you have players like Ndamukong Suh, when you have players like Talib, when you have players like that came over, Peters, that came over from other teams, and they're there for this year. They're hired guns to try to win this year. It's easy to be because they're talented. That's why they got an extra gear to go to. And most of them have been in some type of playoff format, some type of sudden death experience. So this is what I expected from the Rams. I thought they were good. They came into this game healthier, and that health proved out throughout that overtime.
And in a copycat league, I hope teams take what the Rams did this offseason and look at acquiring super talented players that might have some questions or some reason they're available and saying, you know what, if our infrastructure and culture is good enough, we're going to get the most out of them. I'll tell you this much. The team that didn't have Marcus Peters last night, the Kansas City Chiefs, wish they did. And the team that did have him is glad they traded for him. Ndamukong Suh, for the second straight playoff game, was extraordinary. Aqib Talib did an excellent job. We talked about what CJ Anderson was able to do. They went for it this year, and now they're one game away from having it all pay off.
And credit to Wade Phillips for making sure all those personalities were focused just on football this season. All right. For the third straight year, Tom Brady, he's got Super Bowl plans. He'll be in Atlanta if you need him. He and the Patriots took down the Chiefs 37-31 to earn the right to head to his ninth Super Bowl, his fourth in the last 5 years. On the way, he completed his 12th career game-winning drive in the playoffs. That is the most ever. It's a lot of accolades for Tom Brady, and he's well aware of how special the moment is.
These are memories, you know, that'll last a lifetime. And I said a few weeks ago, I'm blessed to find something that I love to do, that I love to work at. And that's probably been the biggest blessing in my life. I love, you know, working hard at trying to make improvements. And every year we start at a different place. And, you know, I love the grind of it, you know, being in the moment. And, you know, this was just an incredible win.
So you see, I feel like I ask you this question at every turn, at every sort of momentous event for Tom Brady. But here we are now heading back to the Super Bowl. How does he keep doing this at this age, at this level?
I don't know. I don't know how he stays focused. I don't know how a person can accomplish what they've accomplished and still be being into the details. Now, as far as his body, how he was able to keep his body in shape to have this type of career, no one knows. He's not a great athlete. He's one of the worst athletes that we have playing the quarterback position. But he's been able to manage because he's fallen in love with the whole process, and that's the grimy part. You know, I'm going to make sure I monitor what I eat in my body so that I have the right type of energy so that I can get the maximum out of my career. Also, what they do on a day-in, day-out basis in New England, he hadn't gotten burned out. I don't know why. There's no one else besides Belichick that's been there that whole time. And we saw cracks in this relationships over the last couple years with the Garoppolo. But they've been able to manage it. And Tom Brady has continued to get better as he's gotten older. In these clutch situations, he's better with his overall experience. And he has the best help that's ever been granted to any type of professional athlete. Like we talk about, well, Michael Jordan got coached by Phil Jackson. Well, he's been coached by the best. And Josh McDaniel, he's been with Belichick 15 of the 19 years. The offensive line coach, Dante Scarnecchia, they dominated the Chiefs in the interior. He's been with them 17 of the 19 years. Brady's benefited from that. You know, Josh McDaniel said they're going to play Eric Berry. We're going to have several snaps in the game where Eric Berry is going to be guarding him man-to-man. So he gets Brady and the other offensive players in the hotel ballroom the morning of the game. He's going to put in 8 new plays. Who has help like that? Only Tom Brady. So you got to be able to pass some of this credit around. Football, man, is the ultimate team game. And I say it all the time. I hate team sports. Well, without the assistance of all these other things, You know, Tom Brady is not who he is. Tom Brady has done his part, but there are other people in that canoe doing a hell of a lot of rowing also, and we need to be able to finally give them credit.
And the reason this morning before the show you said multiple times, that's why I hate team sports, is the narrative surrounding Brady today, not his legacy, not his career, but his performance last night, is so dramatically different if Dee Ford lines up 6 inches back like he's supposed to. On this play, the game's over here, by the way. It was a bad throw. Gronk couldn't pull it in. It's Chiefs ball up four. Game over.
As my trusty statistician information person, Jamila, says, it's like Pop Warner. It's the basics of all football.
Just don't line up past the ball. Can we show America if Dee Ford wasn't offsides what Tom Brady's stat line for this game would have been? Because it would not have been the stuff of legends. One touchdown, three picks, a pick in the end zone, a pick to end the game, and a 63 rating. The problem is, much like the Chargers learned in a divisional playoff game a decade ago, 12 years ago actually, Tom Brady threw a pick to end that football game. And then Troy Brown came around and forced a fumble. And then Brady didn't make another mistake. From that moment forward, Tom Brady completed five passes. A 25-yard pass to Gronk on third and five, three passes on third and 10, a pass on first and 10, all four first downs.
And all three of those interceptions would have been blatantly his fault.
Yes.
Leading Edelman across the middle, trying to fit it in a tight spot. The ball's too high. It gets tipped. It gets intercepted. At the goal line, throwing one low to Gronkowski compared to throwing one by the crossbar, intercepted by Reggie Ragland, the linebacker there. And this one, he wanted to throw the ball down the field, but couldn't get his feet set. And at the last minute, tries to throw one to Gronk in the fast, in the flat, too hard. It gets deflected. It gets intercepted.
And the game's over. Like, I know the Pats had three timeouts. The Chiefs win the game. And we are talking totally different scenario. And that's one of the problems with when we don't have the benefit of being in the moment. When we just look at guys' careers and stack up how many Super Bowls. And this is why Brady, it's almost a non-factor because he has so many amazing appearances and numbers. But in 10 years, are people going to remember, Drew Brees didn't go because they blew that call? And Tom Brady wouldn't have gone, but Dee Ford lined up offsides. Like, so Brady, I want to make this clear, because obviously I picked against the Pats. I've thought that this was going to be the end of the run. I am not a Tom Brady skeptic on what he's accomplished. He is the greatest quarterback ever, and he's lapped the field at this point. But there are lucky bounces, and there are institutional and infrastructure advantages that you're talking about, which is, Tom Brady didn't hold the Chiefs to 0 points in the first half.
No.
And Tom Brady didn't. He had the great pass to Philip Dorsett in the first half. It was a running game, Belichick, defensive game plan. They gave the
pass. They ran the ball 48 times. Now, I know Tony Romo swear up and down on the telecast that Tom Brady audible in all those.
All of them.
He's just making up stuff on the telecast, all right? Because there's no way that he has the power to build audible in Kansas City like that. But the amount of help that he gets. Now, he's the one that kept himself fresh. He's the one that kept himself current. He's the one that kept him in the offseason. He goes to Montana and plays catch with Edelman that no one knows about. Now, he's done all those things.
Right.
But the assist that he's getting along the way is legendary also.
And he's the one. He's Michael Myers, man. You better cut his head off. Because if you give him this much.
Right.
The moment that I poll Chiefs fans on the moment that you saw the offsides. It's like, they're scoring a touchdown. Just hope they score quick enough. Mahomes gets the ball back. He does get the ball back. They kick the field goal, and then it came down to the coin flip. And once Brady got that coin flip.
The Patriots got the coin flip. That's it. You knew it was over.
Good night.
And because Brady, when the moment is that big, you forget all the little things, which you're right. He's not as crisp, as fine-tuned as he used to be. But when the moment counts and the moment's there, he delivers.
And even in overtime, after the first play of overtime, Tom Brady did not complete a pass on first or second down. You know what he did? He completed a pass on third and 10 for 20 yards, on third and 10 for 15 yards, and on third and 10 for another 15 yards. And it should be noted, the Pats were not in four down territory in any of those spots. If the first two, either the first two are incomplete, they're punting. And if the third one's incomplete, they're kicking a field goal and the Chiefs get the ball. So it's a weird spot where for 59 minutes, I do not think Tom Brady was good. And there was an interception in the game. And then in the final minute in overtime, He was Tom Brady. And that's how you go to your ninth Super Bowl.
It's amazing.
Nine.
All right, still ahead, we're going to discuss why the Patriots are favored to win their sixth Super Bowl in 18 years. That's next on First Things First. Back here on First Things First, Super Bowl champ Chris Caney here to help us break everything down. Did you enjoy the weekend?
I enjoyed the weekend. I did not enjoy that cold weather this morning. When you wake up and you step outside and it's single digits.
It was brutal.
I don't care how long you've been in a cold weather city. You never get used to single digit temperatures.
My doorman. By the way, it's -2. I was like, thanks. Enjoy staying indoors at 3 a.m. as I'm walking out the door to work. But great weekend, though.
Great weekend, football. Great games yesterday.
Let's start with the AFC game. Chiefs hosting the Patriots.
Come on my show complaining about the
Chiefs
weather.
Shut out
I already
the
got
first
somebody
half,
complaining about
made
the weather.
The game in the second. I did not complain until he brought it up. A little more than two minutes to go. Damian Williams runs it in, puts the Chiefs up 4. Tom Brady fired up, finding Rob Gronkowski, putting the ball inside the 5 with less than a minute left. Next play, Rex Burkhead runs it in for the score. Patriots go up 3. All right, Chiefs have a chance to tie. Mahomes to DeMarcus Robinson, 27-yard gain, and that would put them in range. Harrison Butker, 39 yards out, drills it, and we're going to overtime. Here we go. 3rd and 9, Tom Brady finds Julian Edelman. And what else is new? 20-yard gain, Pats into the red zone. Burkhead will take it down to the 5-yard line. 2 plays later, Burkhead again scores, and that would be the ball game. Chiefs never touch the ball in overtime. Patriots go on to win 37-31. Tom Brady takes down the presumptive MVP on his way to his 9th Super Bowl. Chris Caney, a lot to take in here. But let's just take a step back. How were the Patriots able to beat the Chiefs last night?
Well, the Patriots controlled the complexion of the game. I mean, you saw that the Chiefs were blanked in the first half. That hadn't happened at any point in any game this season. I mean, when you don't allow them to actually have any opportunities to score points in the first half, I think that's probably the most impressive part about the game. But a lot of it had to do with the offensive game plan for the New England Patriots. We saw them come out and do exactly what they did in that game against the Los Angeles Chargers a week before in the divisional round. They ran the football. They used 21 personnel. They went with a lot of different personnel groupings.
Yep.
But the focus was being able to attack in between the tackles in the run game. When you saw that the Kansas City Chiefs only ran 16 plays on offense for 32 yards in the first half, that was essentially the game. I mean, and it could have been a lot uglier than that because Tom Brady threw that interception in the red zone. Reggie Ragland had that pick. I mean, it could have been 21-0 at halftime. But, I mean, I think that the Kansas City Chiefs got into a big hole and they weren't able to do enough to climb out of that hole in the second half.
Well, I mean, they climbed out of it twice. They had 2 second-half leads that they weren't able to hold on to those leads.
This is the problem. When you get behind in a game like that, you think when on the scoreboard you're even, but you're not even because they have forced their will on your defense. There ain't no subs for that defense. It's late in the year. Like, when that defense is on the field, that wear and tear will typically pay dividends for the team that has dominated time of possession. So the scoreboard might say, oh, we're tied up. But as players on the field, you know you have a tremendous advantage because you've dominated time of possession.
And the defense was clearly gassed by the end. I totally understand that. And the time of possession was the Chiefs had the ball for 21 minutes. The Pats had the ball for 44 minutes because the overtime part of it. But to me, the most impressive part of this game was not what the Patriots did on offense, because if you would have told me they're going to run on the Chiefs at will, I'd have said that's believable. To me, the most impressive part is what the Patriots did on defense. This was the least productive game of Tyreek Hill's career. First game in his career where he has only 1 touch and no touchdowns. So, I mean, he had the 1 catch late in the first half, and that was it. And then Travis Kelce had 3 catches in the game. He had the touchdown, and that was essentially it. They couldn't run the ball. Damian Williams, 10 carries for 30 yards. Like, I know Damian Williams in with 3 touchdowns, so that part looks good. But aside from Patrick Mahomes doing some really good things to his 3rd and 4th options, the Patriots defense played its ideal game plan. And that, to me, is what was most impressive. The ability to take out Hill and Kelce both from the football game.
Well, I'm going to say, from an offensive standpoint, this is what New England did. Because you're talking about the inability for Kansas City to get the ball to their weapons. Well, on the other side, New England got the ball to their weapons.
Yep.
Sony Michel, 29 carries. James White in the first half utilized him 12 plays. He gets 6 first down. So you got to give credit to the people that know how to, because coming into the game plan, you got to stop Gronk. Yep. You got to stop Edelman. Oh, okay. Well, let's see how they did. Edelman targeted 10 times, 7 catches. Gronk, 11 targets, 6. So you got to give credit to the people that systematically get the ball to their players compared to, I thought it was more New England's defense, I mean offense, that put the defense in position that they could make Kansas City play left-handed because they were on the field so long.
Yeah, exactly. That's the whole point, right? You want to limit the opportunities that Pat Mahomes has to get the ball to those players because, again, there's only so long that you're going to be able to hold that Kansas City Chiefs offense down. And you saw that in the fourth quarter. They put up 24 points in the fourth quarter. So it was ultimately about the offense playing complementary football and limiting the opportunities that Pat Mahomes had to bring his team back in the game. But, I mean, there aren't any good answers to try to neutralize Pat Mahomes and what that Kansas City Chiefs offense can do, but the best next thing you can do is try to limit the opportunities that he has to exploit your defense. Now, you got to give credit where credit is due. I thought the secondary did a great job of disguising the coverages pre-snap. They played a lot of man coverages, man-free. They double-teamed Tyreek Hill. They kept the safety high this time rather than trying to run true bracket coverage.
In the first game, week number 6, they played an in-and-out coverage where they were out to the left and out to the right. The safety was coming down, and with that speed, he ran through that coverage. What they did was kept the safety high at all times, and the underneath coverage took away all the short and intermediates. Brilliant game plan by Belichick.
And one of the reasons they weren't able to adjust and they weren't able to maybe have Tyreek Hill get the ball in more intermediate stuff, they're taking away the short and the long, is because Patrick Mahomes was under constant duress. Brady was pressured on 10% of his dropbacks, only hit one time. Well, he was hit twice, but one of them they said was roughing the passer somehow. So he only hit one time in the stat sheet. Mahomes was on his back throughout the game, pressured on 45% of his dropbacks, so he didn't have time. Like, I thought what the Patriots did defensively was brilliant. To these guys' points, they started the game with a 15-play, 8-plus-minute drive to establish what they were trying to do, and they ended the game with a 13-play drive in overtime to make sure that Patrick Mahomes was not going to step on the field again.
And despite being under duress, Patrick Mahomes had a much better night than Tom Brady had, Chris.
Well, he had a much better night from the stat sheet point of view, but, I mean, they couldn't get the offense going early, and one of the things that Nick and I had always talked about is the games that the Chiefs have lost this season, Pat Mahomes has gotten out to a slow start. The Patriots did that again, but that's in large part to what their offense is capable of doing. Bill Parcells used to always have a formula for his offense, and in order to call it a good outing, his offense needed to have 50-plus runs and completions. So if you total that number, it would be 50 or more. Well, the Patriots had 78 runs plus completions.
Wow.
They doubled up on the Kansas City Chiefs. They ran 94 plays. The Chiefs ran 47. I mean, you limited the opportunity. So for as much as people have been making about the New England Patriots defense not being as talented, well, if you're not on the field, if you only have to defend the Chiefs offense for 47 plays, we're going to give ourselves a pretty good chance to keep that number one scoring offense down. And that's exactly why. They didn't have to do much. The Chiefs averaged 35 points. They held them to 31. Tom Brady made that enough to be able to put a win in the stat column and go to the Super Bowl.
They doubled them up in almost everything except for the scoreboard. They doubled up in time of possession, first downs, yards. They quadrupled them in rushing yards. It was on the stat sheet, it looks like it was a Patriots blowout. Instead, it was a Patriots overtime.
All right, it'll be the Patriots and the Rams again. Chris, stick around. Coming up, did the referees cost the Saints a shot at the Super Bowl? We'll talk about that next on First Things First. Back here with Chris Caney, we are going viral. Tom Brady and Jared Goff carried their teams to the Super Bowl yesterday, but Baker Mayfield spent championship weekend morning honing a different craft, baking with Cooper Manning. Take a look.
Hold this egg. Remember, everything the Manning brothers touch turns to gold.
Maybe the other brothers.
Look, if you're not a fan of kitchens, it's okay.
No, I love kitchens.
Yeah, kitchens are great. They're better than Jackson's.
Anything's better than Hugh. Oh. You.
Oh, smell that. What's it smell like?
Fake vanilla.
Smells like 7 and 8 and 1 to me.
Grab the nuts.
NFL doesn't really like it when I do that.
No, the nuts.
Oh, sorry, I have a history of that.
I just want to congratulate you on your great rookie year. I mean, finishing second in Rookie of the Year honors is impressive.
What do you mean, second? They haven't announced it yet.
Well, I mean, I just assume you're going to lose to Lamar Jackson again. Do you remember your first loss?
It was in Oakland.
It was right here, my friend.
Tell me about this tire.
It's actually a Bengal coupe. I own it.
Really?
Only two times a year, though.
Canny, is Baker ever going to get over this blood feud with Hugh Jackson?
I don't know. He keeps bringing it up, man. But Cooper Manning is absolutely right. His first loss was doing that shoot with the Bengal Tiger with the under. I don't know what he had going on, but that would be one of the things. If I was in that locker room, I'll never let Baker Mayfield forget about that.
Man, Baker's having some fun.
He's having some fun, man. Somebody needs to get to the real story of the Baker-Hugh feud. Because it's more than just, I didn't think I was coached right. There's something else there. I mean, every chance he gets.
It's a lot of shade coming from Baker Mayfield.
But he steps into it. He fully leans into it. He doesn't back away.
I wanted to see him bring out a police officer and have him run again. That's what I wanted to see. Want to impress me, Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson ain't running from the police.
Back to the NFC Championship game. Third-year stud Jared Goff and the Rams taking on Drew Brees and the Saints. Tied less than 2 minutes to go. Brees can't hit Tommy Lee Lewis. However, it looks like Nickell Robey-Coleman clearly gets their first pass interference. Helmet to helmet, nothing. No call from the refs on the play. Sean Payton can't believe it. Saints kick a field goal to make it 23-20. Less than a minute left. Goff to Robert Woods gets into field goal range. Sets up this 48-yard field goal for Greg Zuerlein. And we are going to overtime. Saints would get the ball first, but on the third play, Brees gets picked off by John Johnson, and that is the most emotional I think I've ever seen Jared Goff. It would come down to a 57-yarder from Greg Zuerlein, who nails it. Rams punch their ticket to the Super Bowl. After the game, all the Saints talk centered around the no call, and as you'd imagine, Sean Payton was not happy.
Just getting off the phone with the league office, they blew the call, and man, there were a lot of opportunities, though, but that call puts it first and 10. We're on an E3 plays, and it's a game-changing call. And it's where it's at.
Without bashing a so-said referee who's supposed to be a lead at his job, I don't know, blame it on the government shutdown. I don't know. At some point, this is ridiculous.
Listen, it's a hard job for those guys because it's happening fast, but I don't know if there was ever a more obvious pass interference call that, you know, here it is, the NFC Championship game. So, tough one to swallow.
Came to the sideline, looked at the football gods. Like, thank you. Got away with one tonight.
If there's anything I've learned from being on this show, it's that games don't come down to one play. There's always a lot that factors in. But did this happen in this game? Did the refs cost the Saints a chance at the Super Bowl, Canny?
Jenna, I'm right there with you. I typically don't think the game comes down to one play. But if they get that pass interference call on the throw to Tommy Lee Lewis in that situation,
right,
they got the ball first and 10 down in the low red zone. And the Saints had made sure that they forced the Rams to burn a timeout with their second down call because they ran with Alvin Kamara. So it was a situation where the Rams would have had to burn their last timeout. And, of course, the Saints would have had the opportunity to run the clock down, kick a field goal, game over. But the fact is that they didn't make that call. And, of course, they kicked the field goal, but they left just enough time for Jared Goff and that Rams offense to drive the ball 45 yards for Legatron to kick that field goal to push it into overtime. So I will say this. Sean Payton didn't do himself any favors in terms of the sequence of play calling because I don't believe that he should have called that pass to Michael Thomas, that
on
pick
first
play
down.
On first down.
I totally
I just
agree.
Think there was a situation where you forced them to address the time issue. At that point, the time means more than the yardage. I thought that they should have forced the Rams to try to utilize those timeouts, burn those timeouts, leave as little time on the clock as possible, and then you kick the field goal to go ahead, and you see what Jared Goff can do. Because it's a different situation when he's getting the ball with a minute 40, minute 50 left on the clock in a timeout. Out as opposed to
less than a minute, no timeouts.
I disagree with you. And the reason why, because in the NFL, I haven't seen a completion that was more high percentage than the one they were trying to throw to Michael Thomas. Almost every team in the league runs it, either at third and short at the goal line or fourth and short, where you can set a pick play because they're going to throw the ball within 2 yards of the line of scrimmage. You can see right here, the DB falls down. The wide receiver has a lead block on the one defender that's out there. So if I am going to throw the ball, and I know you guys have the benefit of realizing it didn't work, mm-hmm. realizing they didn't win the game. But you're talking about high percentage. the safest throw I have with the quarterback who throws the ball better than anyone who's ever thrown the ball from a percentage standpoint. So that should be easy for them to be able to do. Drew Brees rushes it. Ball gets stuck in his hand a little bit, comes out low. But that is a running play. That part right there, that's why I have to disagree with you. And watching the NFL, I watch almost every team run that same play. And with Michael Thomas and Drew Brees, with that perfect coverage, I'm expecting to get a completion, which is just like running the football.
Well, and listen, if the ref makes the right call, all of it's moot, right? If the ref makes the right call, they are taking knees until 10 seconds, kicking a field goal, and barring a Will Lutz disaster, they're going to the Super Bowl. I understand that. But the reason why that, in my eyes, is not like a running play is because a running play has a 0% chance of an incompletion.
There's a chance of a fumble.
Of a fumble,
when they got nine guys in the box, you're worried about run-throughs. That's why coaches throw the ball, especially on first down. They know they're going to disregard everything else, and every guy on that defense is trying to hit a gap.
And Alvin Kamara had a fumble earlier in the game because Aaron Donald got penetration. I'm with you. I completely understand
Of course, but the reality is if the Rams have three timeouts to different story. Because if the Rams have three timeouts, if you run it three times, they're still getting the ball with a minute 30 plus.
Yes.
When they only have two, and you are guaranteed that if you don't fumble the football, they are getting the ball back with less than a minute left, having to drive into field goal range, I thought it was insanity to throw the ball on first down.
This is the thing I don't understand about you. You like when people do things very, very different. And I've been in games like this. Mm-hmm. That handoff, that center exchange is the reason why I put the quarterback in the shotgun because I know they can try to jam him to try to get the football. There's two ways.
Yep.
Either get it back through the center quarterback exchange or in the exchange between the quarterback before he gives it to the running back. So I know with the defense and the type of look, it's almost the safest thing. I'm not expecting Drew Brees to choke the ball.
Clutch it or to whatever it was, to throw it in the dirt.
You have to put some human elements in there. The strategy was perfect. The execution was not perfect.
Well, here's the thing. I think you have less of a margin for error when you're throwing the ball in that situation with that type of play, because that's the same play that Darrell Bevell called in the Seattle Seahawks Super Bowl.
That's not the same one. It's not the same one. It's not the same one. This is a play where they're setting a legal pick. Like on the Seattle play, the guy was running a slant. They were stacked, all right?
Yeah, they were stacked.
So they weren't able to pick. In this situation, we've seen this play this year. They've changed the rules that you can block or engage a guy down the field if we throw the ball within 1 yard left or right of the line of scrimmage.
Okay.
So it's a different format. I can understand why you would think that.
Similar concept, not exactly the same play.
Well, similar concept that neither one of them worked.
Yeah.
Well, let me listen. You said something I think interesting there, and this will be helpful. You said one of the things you don't understand about me, I think, was that I like when guys are aggressive. You said people do things different. What I like is when people understand time, score, situation, and the math of a situation. And I know, it's not a math equation. I know that.
No, it is a math equation.
But at that,
they got nine guys in the box. You're disregarding that math.
No, I'm not disregarding that. What I am regarding there is that you are not playing the Rams anymore. You are playing the clock. Mm-hmm. And it is not. First of all, I don't believe it's a give up by running.
Does it help me to score a touchdown?
You don't need a touchdown.
No.
You need a first down.
I asked you to answer that question. Does it help me to score a touchdown?
No, but if I'm the Saints, you want to know something, I don't. If you're asking me, would I rather run the ball there or score a touchdown on the first play and give the Rams a minute 45 and two timeouts? Mm-hmm. I'd rather run the ball there and get 2 yards.
Yep.
Because you are playing the clock. You are not playing the opponent. Now, the refs make the right call, which was the beginning of this whole discussion.
This would not be what we're talking about.
And it's unfair to Drew. Like, this is a legacy moment. There's a lot of things involved here where this is, I don't know how, if you're a Drew Brees, you get over this. Like, this
throw
was your opportunity.
Throw the ball better to Michael Thomas. That's how
On first down. I'm talking about the missed call on third down. But I understand the Saints' frustration throughout all of this, but it didn't need to come down to that ref's call.
Yep.
All right, Chris, thank you. Coming up, how impressive was Pat Mahomes going toe-to-toe with Tom Brady? That's next on First Things First. On Saturday, it is a big welterweight title fight as undefeated Keith Thurman defends his belt against Josecito Lopez, live from Barclays Center. Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, only on Fox and the Fox Sports app. We'll get back to Patty Mahomes in a second, but first, NFC Championship, Rams Saints in overtime. Drew Brees' throw tipped. John Johnson there for the interception.
John Johnson, he's going to get credit for this. On his back, makes a great play. But, man, Dante Fowler Jr. coming over from Jacksonville, less needing him, making this trade. Another guy.
It's unbelievable.
Attitude. He can't play. All right, he's going to the Super Bowl. Uh-huh. Great job by the Rams and their personnel being aggressive offseason and in-season.
Sue, Tlaib, Peters. Offseason, all that big games. Fowler and then C.J. Anderson, midseason, big games.
More from this one. Goff under pressure. Nice pass to Tyler Higbee.
I thought this was the throw of the weekend. I mean, for him to be able to avoid a sack, they needed just enough yardage to be able to kick a field goal. But Jared Goff, year number one, he's not going to make this play. Even last year, still questionable. I thought this right here is championship football, and I believe this leads him to have more confidence in his ability going forward.
Jared Goff made a few enormous plays in this game, and in a game where he didn't have Todd Gurley to rely on, he played better than Drew Brees did.
Did you guys see that? Chris Hogan hauling
in my nightmares for the rest of my life. I'll see it.
Absurd one-handed catch.
I mean, when Chris Hogan is making these types of plays, like Edelman's one thing, Gronk's another. Hogan making this play, the Chiefs challenge there. And I don't blame him for it. To me, that wasn't a bad challenge. You had to think that touched the ground.
Yeah, you had to think it did, but he had enough control of it and had it there in his bicep. Great. Being able to catch this on 22 degrees outside, man, this is hard to be able to do. That was the best catch of the weekend.
All right, let's talk about the Chiefs side of this one. After a record-breaking season on offense, they certainly didn't play the part the first half yesterday, going scoreless. They woke up in the second half, scoring 31 points, but were unable to hold off the Patriots in overtime. Here's Patrick Mahomes on the tough loss.
You have to take in the hurt. I mean, you have to accept that. I mean, this hurts. I mean, it's supposed to hurt. You put in work for this. You're doing everything you can to get to the Super Bowl and to win it. And for this opportunity to fall short, I mean, it's going to hurt. And he told us to accept that. I mean, you have to go through that, but at the same time, when you look back and then you come back and look at the bigger picture, you know that you can build off this, use this feeling as motivation to go out and find ways to win next time.
All right, Nick, what did you learn about that guy right there?
I'm glad you're asking about that guy rather than the Chiefs because, yeah, the future appears to be bright for the Chiefs, but the future appeared to be bright for the 84 Dolphins when their second-year quarterback threw for 48 touchdowns, was best player in the league, and that was the best it ever got for them. But for him, what Chris said earlier is true, and it's been true really if you've been watching the last few months. If there was an expansion draft and you could have your pick of any player in the league to start your franchise with for next year or for the next 10, it's number 15 for the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. Nope, no moment is too big, and there's no throw he can't make. After being totally stymied in the first half, for the second time against a Bill Belichick defense, comes out in the second half and scores 31 points. Down with 3.5 minutes left. Has a 90-second touchdown drive to take the lead. Down with 39 seconds left. Has a 30-second drive to put him in field goal range to kick the game-tying field goal. And then just never got the ball in overtime. He is as bright of a young star we've had enter this league in 10, 15 years. He keeps answering every bell. And you saw it yesterday after a first half where nothing could get going, where he was under constant duress. He was still under duress in the second half. They still didn't have a running game in the second half. And he made plays.
He was bright and he's grounded. For a guy that age to be able to lead his team, to be composed post-game, knowing exactly how big the moment was, and then to be able to go out there on that stage, it didn't look like he did not get a ton of opportunities in the first half, but it just didn't look like when he did get those opportunities that the moment was too big for him.
No, it wasn't too big for him. I mean, Patty Mahomes is a star in this league. I wouldn't compare him to the Dan Marino, and one reason why is because when Dan was coming up, there was a lot of quarterbacks around the same age as Dan, that being Montana, that being Jim Kelly in his own division. Those things, and also from an organizational standpoint, I believe the Kansas City Chiefs will have a better defense than Dan Marino had. So a little hint, hint. Right. If you don't want his career to end like Dan Marino, put a little defense. What about a little running game around them also, even though they were playing in great weather? So I believe Kansas City will support their quarterback. I believe when Dan came into the league, it was a very, very unique time with Kelly going to 4 Super Bowl, Montana winning 4 Super Bowls, those quarterbacks basically in the same era that you're playing in. I was very impressed with Patty Mahomes. I was very impressed that he didn't force a mistake given the rush and duress that he was under. This defensive front, you don't think with this Kansas City Chiefs team that they're going to cause them problems, that being New England. But their front seven caused Kansas City blocking assignment problems where Patty Mahomes had more people in his face, and his decision-making, I thought, was great. I thought also in trying to chase down New England, he didn't make the spectacular play. He made enough plays, and when there wasn't something there, he got rid of the football. So this wasn't a game that he was going to complete 75% of his passes. No, because he was getting rid of the football knowing, but I'm going to take care of the football. His arm talent is without question. Now his game management and what are the other things they decide, because there will be another team that will take Tyreek Hill out of the game. What do they do then? And I think absent of a running game, they miss Kareem Hunt in this game more than any game that we've seen since he was kicked off the squad.
See, to your point about the defense, about the Chiefs needing to address the defense, Football Outsiders had this number. It's jarring. This was the third game this year that Patrick Mahomes has trailed in the fourth quarter, led a comeback drive, only to have his defense then blow the lead. It took Tom Brady 211 starts for that to happen to him 3 times. It's happened to Patrick Mahomes, the first game against the Patriots, the game against the Rams, and the game against the Patriots again. So the two Super Bowl teams, yeah. Patrick Mahomes trailing in the fourth quarter, led his team to the lead,
yeah.
And then the defense could not hold it. That's the bitter and the sweet of this season for the Chiefs season. The sweet is that he could do it. The bitter is the defense couldn't hold it.
I thought the ultimate compliment was after battling with Brady, eye to eye, toe to toe, throw for throw, play for play, Tom Brady in the euphoria of, I'm going to my 9th Super Bowl. What does he want to do? He don't want to go to Disney World. He tells his people, I want to go to Kansas City's locker room. I want to congratulate. I want to see Patty Mahomes to his face, and I want to congratulate him before I miss this moment. So we should recognize who Patty Mahomes is, because the greatest football player and quarterback, Tom Brady, he recognized it after that game, after he escaped Arrowhead getting that win over Patty Mahomes and the Chiefs.
I have a funny Disney World story, but I'm not going to tell you now.
Thank you very much.
I'll tell you another time. Time now for Put a Grade on It, sponsored by CarMax. Sticking with Patrick Mahomes and his nearly 300 yards and 3 touchdowns in the loss. Nick, put a grade on Mahomes' performance.
A minus. A triple plus in the second half. Did everything you could ask for him. Was the only quarterback this weekend not to turn the ball over. The first half, though, that sack he took right before halftime that knocked him out of field goal range.
Yes.
That was a big play. The Pats ended up getting 7 points on their 90-yard drive. So I'm weighting it towards the second half because he had his team in position win multiple times.
A minus
from me.
Yeah, I'm going to give him a B because his team loses. And early in the game, not only the sack, but he missed the running back wide open for a touchdown.
Yep.
So you could see he was a little bit nervous. Didn't have the opportunities. Didn't have the team supporting him around him. So I'm going to give Patty Mahomes a B.
All right, got to take a break. Coming up, did the Saints blow their last chance at a Super Bowl with Drew Brees? That's next on First Things First. First things first, time for stories to start your morning, sponsored by Gillette Clear Gel. Chiefs fell in overtime to the Patriots 37-31 after the game. Chiefs head coach Andy Reid said, this one hurts, and it does with our fans. Nick, how tough is this for Chiefs fans to swallow?
I think this is not all losses are created equal. And after the first half, looked like the Chiefs were going to get blown out. And to come back, to take the lead, to have the game won with that interception, to only see your star pass rusher lined up off sides, and then come back again and tie the game, to only not get the ball in overtime, this is a double stomach punch. Like, this is about as bad as losses get.
Yeah. Oh, it hurts. It hurts. There's no guarantee you can get back in that position. They were in perfect position with Patty Mahomes, MVP-type regular season. Would the defense be good enough? The defense had performed better at home. They let them down in the championship game when they really need them, especially in that first half not being able to get off the field.
And to lose to the Patriots, too. Despite the Rams winning, Todd Gurley didn't have a great game. What are we on time? Only carried the ball four times, dropped two passes, leading many to wonder if he might be injured. After the game, Gurley said he wasn't hurt, just that he had a sorry performance. See you buying that he had a sorry performance and wasn't injured?
Oh, no, he was sorry. It's just a matter of was he sorry and hurt. Because he didn't look good. His body language was bad. That's the only answer for him not being out there. They'll say, oh, they were going with the hot hand. Man, Todd Gurley, it's hard to imagine someone having a hotter hand than him. And after the rest, he looked better in last week's game. I think he had a setback in practices or in the game last week.
What was shocking to me is at the very end of the first half, when he scored that touchdown, that really got the Rams back in the game, I thought, okay, come second half, Todd Gurley's going to be used a lot, and then he wasn't. When you say his body language is bad, I didn't think he was being a bad teammate on the sideline. He just looked down.
Body language being bad, meaning when the ball came to him on the check down.
Yes, okay, that's
what
you're
talking
about.
He looked like he was surprised.
Right, you didn't mean on the sideline. I thought you meant when he was out of the game. Because I thought out of the game, he didn't look like a player who had been benched and was upset about it. Looked like a player who knew why he wasn't out there and was just there rooting for his team.
All right, finally, despite the loss, Drew Brees said he'll be back for the 2019 season. He did, however, add, quote, I'm not getting any younger. Nick, did the Saints blow their Super Bowl window?
Oh, not their Super Bowl window. Like, as long as you've got Drew Brees and Sean Payton and Marshawn Lattimore, Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, you're going to be right there.
In the conversation.
But much like the Kansas City Chiefs, you do not know that you'll be the one seed again. You do not know that you will get to this point in the season as healthy as they did. You don't. Last year they had an excellent chance, but last year they were going to have to do it the hard way. They were going to have to do it by going on the road in the second round, then going on the road in the third round. And last year it took the Minneapolis Miracle to prevent them from getting to the third round. This year is very different. It was the easy path. Home field, a bye. Up 13-0 early, have multiple chances to put this game away, including after the blown call, the ball in overtime. And Drew Brees throws an interception. Their window's not closed. Their window's still open. But will they were the Super Bowl favorites 24 hours ago. Will they be the Super Bowl favorites with four teams left again in Drew Brees' career? The odds say probably not.
They blew a tremendous opportunity, but the last month of the season, they didn't play great football. Week number 17, they rested their starters of the four teams that were left in the playoffs. They're the only team that really struggled in the first half of the game. Now, they did come out in the championship game and play a better football game. But this was a team, when you come down the stretch, outside of Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara, who do they have offensively? You know why they went out and signed Dez Bryant. You know why they went out and signed Brandon Marshall. Those didn't end up working out, but they need another wide receiver, another weapon on that offense. I believe they blew a tremendous opportunity because having home field advantage, having that lead, all that momentum in the game, coming into the game shorthanded, Ben Watson being out. Defensively, they lost their starting defensive tackle last week, blew his Achilles. So, to be able to take advantage of that opportunity and not get to the Super Bowl, I believe the last two losses, the miracle you mentioned and this loss right here, how could we say they're going to be better in 19 or 20?
And they got to figure out what happened to the offense over the last 7 weeks of the year. In the last 7 weeks of the year, they had more games scoring 14 or fewer points than games scoring more than 24 points. Last 7 weeks of the year, they averaged fewer than 20 points per game. This super high-powered offense through 10 weeks went dormant at the worst time of the year.
But to lose the last 2 years the way they did, it's gut-wrenching for this team. All right, sticking with the NFC title game, one of the most crucial moments of this game, the one we were talking about earlier, the one we'll be talking about for a very long time, the third down no-call pass interference on Tommy Lee Lewis. If the penalty is called there, the Saints would have been able to take the clock down and kick a field goal as time expired. Then the Saints would be going to the Super Bowl. Instead, the Saints will be watching the Super Bowl. Sean Payton was unhappy during the game and most certainly after the game.
Frustrating, you know, just getting off the phone with the league office. They blew the call, and man, there are a lot of opportunities, though, but that call puts it first and 10. We're on an E3 plays, and it's a game-changing call. They said not only was it interference, it was helmet-to-helmet. There were two calls. They couldn't believe it. We go into these league meetings, and we sit as an ownership group, and we don't further evaluate the replay system. You know, there's just too much at stake. And it's a hard job for those guys because it's happening fast. But I don't know if there was ever a more obvious pass interference call that, you know, here it is, the NFC Championship game. So, tough one to swallow.
CeCe, you've been around the game for a long time. In your opinion, does the NFL need to consider expanding instant replay?
No. Last year, we had the catch, no catch rule. We changed that, make it more pleasing for the fans, our fan base, so we know what a catch was, so the players knew what a catch was, and typically they come after a play like this. There's too many judgmental plays that would slow down the pace of the game. The whole game, the product of the game would change if you bring these plays into review. And, man, you'd be able to call so many pass interferences if you went to review. So, Sean Payton, it's tough. I know you've talked about trying to open it up for more reviews. You think it'd make the game better? I don't believe it would make the game better. Some calls are going to be missed. You can't go to a sporting event expecting them to get all the calls, but trying to open this one up, I don't think it would enhance the game. I don't think the viewer would be as pleased when you start to see the number of stoppages you're going to have during the game.
I 100% agree with you. Anyone that's going to go on television or radio, newspaper today and say they need to expand instant replay, they should not be allowed to say just that. Tell me specifically what you're saying. You should be able to challenge flags. Well, there wasn't a flag there. Oh, so you should be able to challenge non-calls. Okay, good luck with that. All right, every big touchdown at the end of games, a coach will save his challenge and say, holding on the left guard. Every big interception late in the game, throws challenge flag, illegal contact on the corner on the other side of the screen. This would open a Pandora's box, and I know that's cliche, but in this instance, it's accurate, that there is no fix here. I saw people that I respect online that cover this game saying the NFL needs to use all its technology available. But what does that actually mean? There are no robots. Everyone's like, oh, robotic officials. That don't exist. Major League Baseball is the only sport where you theoretically could just do a robotic strike zone. Everything else involves a flow of the game.
And the problem here, the referee's in good position, but where Drew Brees throws the ball, there's a blind spot because the ball doesn't get high enough. The ref's at an angle. He's got two potential players there. The ball is flighted low enough that he thinks the ball and the defender get there at the same time.
Simultaneous contact is what he thinks.
So what's the solution?
There isn't. This is going to happen. Like, the reality
is,
going to
get up, we're going to criticize the play, and then we're going to have the Super Bowl go on. They'll have the committee. We'll meet about it. But it's not something that will change the game. There's not a lot of things in the NFL that you can change to enhance it. They did it with the catch rule. Everyone understands it. Now, so we don't have these debates, you're going to have bad. This is not the first time a game has been changed with pass interference or non-pass interference. It just happens to be. It just happened yesterday.
And it was a blatant call.
It was a blatant one. And
all of them are.
Right. Like, the Chiefs got called for a roughing the passer on Tom Brady. That on replay, you were like, oh, that was ridiculous. But it wasn't to win the game. It wasn't. Now, it had a big part to do with the game. But it's rare you have chance to go to the Super Bowl, a call this blatant, that late in the game where we can simply say, if this call's different, the Saints win the football game. But I actually think, I know this is going to be unpopular, I actually think outside of this play, these playoffs have been officiated really well. There hasn't been a bunch of flags. There's been a good flow to the game. The refs have been consistent from how they're calling it to start the game to how they're calling it to finish the games. Where I think fans should get upset with officiating is when they spot the ball wrong, obviously. They misapply a rule. But in a game where there's going to be, what, 150 plays between the two teams, there's going to be that much passing, it's usually not this blatant. There is not a solution. Again, if you want flags to be challengeable, okay, but that wasn't a flag. Now you want non-calls to be challengeable.
In real time, it wasn't blatant.
I thought it was simultaneous.
In real time, you could not tell if the defender got there before the ball did. So, yes, with replay and what replay does, it makes officials look bad. It makes it look very, very obvious. But that's why it's a replay with all the different frames of different camera angles. Yeah, they make it crystal clear. Yeah, anybody would have known that, but that's not the way it happens in real time.
It's just unfortunate that a day of great football turned into conversations about instant replay and whether overtime should be the way it is with overtime rules. But once we get past that, we will go back and
people listen. I guarantee people watched in incredibly high numbers. People, the NFL this year has been, the product's been outstanding. So in my eyes, so much better than last year. And we got two overtime games to go to the conference champion, to go to the Super Bowl. Yeah, I mean, it was a call that marred the game. There's no way to fix it other than get the call right.
All right, take a break. Coming up, how does Tom Brady always shine in the biggest moments? That's next on First Things First. On Saturday, the welterweight title fight as undefeated Keith Thurman defends his belt against Josecito Lopez live from Barclays Center Saturday at 8 Eastern only on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Back here with Chris Candy, we're going viral. So the talk of championship weekend was the pass interference no call in the Rams-Saints game. I guess you could say Saints fans were not pleased with a Louisiana highway sign simply displaying "We were robbed." Message received.
Usually that means the sign was hacked, like when it says zombies upcoming. Yeah. I think this was authorized.
Yeah.
I think whoever was doing the Louisiana Highway Patrol says, "We were robbed." Everyone knows we were robbed. This is an outrage.
Yeah, but when the guy that was potentially should have been called for a P.I. comes out in the post game and says, "Yeah, it was P.I., but I
whacked him."
Come on, man. Come on.
Give him credit for honesty. Yeah, I whacked him. What are they going to do? Can't take it back now.
I'm going to the Super Bowl.
You're not.
All right, so for the third straight year, Tom Brady has Super Bowl plans as well. He'll be in Atlanta if you need him. He and the Patriots took down the Chiefs 37-31 to earn the right to head to his ninth Super Bowl, his fourth in the last 5 years. On the way, he completed his 12th career game-winning drive in the playoffs. That's the most ever. It's a lot of accolades cast upon Tom Brady, and he's well aware of how special the moment is.
These are memories, you know, that'll last a lifetime. And I said a few weeks ago, I'm blessed to find something that I love to do, that I love to work at. And that's probably been the biggest blessing in my life. I love, you know, working hard at trying to make improvements. And every year we start at a different place. And, you know, I love the grind of it, you know, being in the moment. And, you know, this was just an incredible win.
Chris Candy, how does Tom Brady keep doing this year after year after year?
I don't know, Jenna. And to be frank with you, I'm done trying to figure it out. Like, he's just special, and I just want to appreciate the greatness that is Tom Brady.
While it's still
and him and that synergy that he has with Bill Belichick and what they've been able to accomplish over the 17 years that he's been the starting quarterback for that franchise. So he took over in 2001 full-time as a starting quarterback. He did have that one season, I think it was 2008, that he missed with the ACL. But, I mean, this will be his ninth Super Bowl appearance in 17 full seasons as the quarterback of the New England Patriots. So he makes the Super Bowl over half the time, half of the seasons that he's been the starting quarterback. And usually you're talking about players declining as they get older, but Tom Brady and the Patriots have been in the Super Bowl four of the last 5 years. This will be three straight. So, I mean, that's probably the most impressive part about what he's been able to accomplish. It's just his ability to get better as he's aged. Now, part of that has to do with just seeing more football. The more football that you've seen, the more that you can recall, the more information that you know, the quicker you can identify things and understand what to do in terms of execution in that moment. And it showed late in that game yesterday with the Chiefs. I mean, not only did he engineer the drive of 65 yards with 2 minutes to go to put them in a situation where they took the lead. Of course, Pat Mahomes did come back and get them in field goal range to tie it. But once they got into overtime, being able to put together a 13-play drive and then, of course, have three third-down conversions that were absolutely critical in that, two passes to Edelman and then the pass to Gronk to set up the Burkhead touchdown. To me, that's the most impressive part about it, his ability to be able to slow everything down in that moment. And, CC, you alluded to this last Friday. You said between the two quarterbacks that were in this AFC Championship game, you gave the edge to Tom Brady just because he knows how he's going to feel in the moment, and he knows exactly what he needs to do in terms of being able to harness that type of energy and use it to benefit his team. That's exactly what happened in the end of that game.
And I do believe Tom Brady's had more help. Tom Brady's been great because when you play a long time in this league, in the generation of players that we have playing now, I don't know how Tom Brady copes with them day to day. That was one of the things that led me towards retirement, was that mentally I was not challenged on a daily basis. The players became a lot younger than I wanted to be around. The stories that they were telling, the things they were involved in, how they were not taking care of their body, where they were hanging out, all those things became a reason for me to find another profession. Tom Brady somehow has tricked himself. Somehow that right there has not affected him. He's got a reservoir of information. So him going into situation, he's far more comfortable because he's been in most to every situation and a number of times. As far as his body, getting his body to fire like this at this age, is totally incredible that his body's responding. And people would say, well, his arm. Well, the thing that goes on quarterbacks, if it's not their arms, it's their legs. So Tom Brady to be in the type of physical shape, because I would find it hard to find a starting quarterback in the NFL who is a worse athlete than Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. And at this advanced age, for him to be able to get beyond his lack of athleticism in a physical sport. And the last thing that's most impressive is the Belichick, the tree, the support he has around him. Offensive line, offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniel. Mm-hmm. He's been there with Belichick 15 of the 19 seasons. He comes up with Canty 8 plays. The morning of the game, they're going over these plays. Gronk running that slant was not in the game plan. They hadn't rehearsed that play. They utilized 5 of these 8 plays, all for positive gains during. So that reservoir of information, the offensive line, they were the MVP of this game. They dominated Kansas City. They took the fight to Kansas City, not with a bunch of superstar names, a rookie left tackle, Dante Scarnecchia. He's been there 17 years of this Brady run there with Belichick. So their ability to be able to function at a high level, going back on years and years of information that they will regurgitate if they need it for this game, that's what I see with Tom Brady. And I think we should just appreciate those things. But the body being in this shape and his mental mind staying engaged with these young players, these millennials that he's playing with now, those things are impressive beyond my imagination.
Listen, the depth and breadth of Brady's career is unprecedented. And you can get in trouble saying stuff like this, but I would predict we will never see something like this in this sport ever again. To go to 2 Super Bowls, 18 years apart the way he is. I mean, the Rams have been in 2 cities and had nearly 20 combined coaches and quarterbacks since they were playing Brady and Belichick, same thing. So I give Brady, he's the greatest quarterback ever, and if there is such a thing as the greatest football player ever, he is near, if not at the top of that discussion. But yesterday's game was not about Tom Brady's greatness in no way, shape, or form. Of all the teams that played yesterday, no quarterback got more than 45 yards from a running back, except for Brady, who got 113 from his top running back. Of all the games played yesterday, no quarterback had their defense sack the opposing quarterback more than twice, except for Brady, who his defense pressured Mahomes 45% of the time. They got 4 sacks. In all the games yesterday, no quarterback turned the ball over more than once, except for Brady, who turned it over twice, once in the end zone. And of all the games yesterday, no quarterback that won had the game lost because of a missed throw by him. And then it's wiped away because D Ford can't line up off onsides. Like, what is the if D Ford does what our great producer Jamila told us before the show, teach him Pop Warner, line up onsides, the football game is over. And if the football game is over there, can we just show America what the greatest quarterback ever, and that's what Tom Brady is, what he would have done last night? That's 1 touchdown, 3 picks, all 3 on him. 1 in the red zone, 1 to lose the game, 260 yards passing.
The Edelman one would have been on him?
I thought
so. Yeah, he let him. It's a zone. You got to put that ball on him.
Okay, so even if that one's questionable, I thought it
was. Was he supposed to catch it?
This one, there's no question.
No, that's on him.
And
no question.
The Gronk play, I mean, yeah, that play right there is close call, and the Gronk play, there's no question about it. So, listen. The Super Bowl win against Atlanta, right? The last time the Pats were in overtime. I give Brady 98% of the credit for that game. Like, the defense couldn't stop them. They were down 28-3. You saw him rallying guys on the sideline. They made play after play after play. He was, from the moment they were down 28-3 on, basically perfect. In this football game, for 59 minutes, he was nearly the weak link for the Patriots. And then the moment that offsides call was made, he completes a 25-yard pass on 3rd and 5 and in overtime. 4 completions, all for first downs, three on third and 10. Like, he was, the moment they didn't cut his head off, Michael Myers style, he sat up and he killed him. And I give him all the credit in the world for that. But we got to be honest about what happened yesterday.
But of the four starting quarterbacks that played yesterday, if one of them won the coin toss in overtime, had you needed one guy to take you down the field that you were sure of all four, would you not pick Tom Brady?
No, you absolutely would pick Tom Brady. And I understand Nick's argument talking about the supporting cast and the job that they did yesterday. But I don't think we can dismiss the quarterback play from Tom Brady, even though he did have a couple of mistakes in that game. I mean, outside of that interception that he threw to Reggie Ragland, they've scored every trip they had into the red zone. So, I mean, that's a situation where you're looking at that efficiency. You look at how great he was on third downs. Their overall ability to be able to extend drives and control time of possession was in part due to the execution at the quarterback position. So a part of the game plan and playing keep away from Pat Mahomes and that Kansas City Chiefs offense had to be your quarterback being able to execute the offense and sustain drives. And Tom Brady did a great job of that. I mean, arguably a better job than any other quarterback that we saw yesterday. And ultimately, that's why they were able to overcome a -2 turnover deficit. It's because they were able to sustain drives and control time of possession. They had the ball for 40-plus minutes. So, I mean, when you look at that and you say, okay, they held the ball and they limited the Chiefs' opportunities to touch the ball and to score points, you have to credit Tom Brady in that game.
New England was great. The team early. Tom Brady was brilliant late. That's the story of what happened yesterday in Kansas City.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.